We're still in the book of Matthew, Matthew 3. We should finish it up today. I was going to try to finish it up last week, but there's just so much information in the Bible. It's amazing. So we'll see what the Lord does here, and we'll go ahead and pray and then get into the lesson. Father in heaven, we thank you for an opportunity to come here, Lord, and we thank you for a building to come and hear your words, Lord, out of the cold. And there's places all over the world that don't have anything, Lord, and they're just got people gathered together, and that's fine, Lord, if that's what you provide. And we're just grateful that you provide this for us here, and we pray that you give those that don't have such luxuries, Lord, we pray that you give those people grace, Lord, to just enjoy what you have for them. And Father, we pray for for our hearts and our ears to be open here today, Lord, and that we can learn something out of your words and maybe apply something to ourselves and just be a blessing to you. And we pray these things for Christ's sake, amen. All right, we ended up in, I think we got done with verse 12 last week, talking about the threshing floor and Jesus winnowing with his winnowing fan and everything. And so now we're in verse 13, talking about John's baptism still, his baptisms throughout this whole thing. The verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. John's baptism will manifest the Messiah to Israel, and it also manifests to Israel what will happen to them. Baptism is a picture of death, burial, and resurrection. If baptism manifests the Messiah to Israel, John 1:31. Let's go there real quick and just look that verse up. John 1:31 says right here, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. So John's baptism is, those that submit to his baptism will end up recognizing that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And that's why Peter says, what does he say? He says something, Jesus asks him a question, who say you that I am? Or he says, thou art the Son of the living God, or in some ways, I think he says something along those things. And he says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. So because he was submitted to John's baptism, he got that revelation. And we went through that a couple weeks back. So that would, then what would Jesus being baptized here show to Israel? That's the question. They should have known that Jesus was going to die and be buried and rise again. The baptism pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of you go underneath the water, it pictures that you've died, and you were buried, and you come up, it's a picture of a resurrection. And so who was John baptizing in the river? He was baptizing Jews, the nation, the children of Israel. And so if you look in Ezekiel 36 and 37, you'll see that the nation of Israel, it looks like they died when they split back in the Old Testament. A house divided cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand. So let's go there in Ezekiel 36 and let's read here a little bit. We'll go to chapter 37. We'll start in verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, They are, behold, they say, our bones are dried and our home is lost. We are cut off for our parts. It looks like it's implying it's their fault that they're cut off. It's their part that they got cut off. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them over every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. So it appears as though somehow when they split back in the Old Testament, as a nation, they're no longer one as a nation anymore. They're two. And so you have the world recognizing Israel as a nation again, but is it really one nation? Or is in God's eyes, are they still a split nation? Are they still not really a nation of people anymore because they're split? It's like they're not a nation. But the world says, well, we recognize Israel as a nation again. But God says they're not one nation, they're split. Now, a couple weeks back, I was talking about how in order for there to be a legitimate offer of the kingdom, all the nation of Israel had to be in that area. And they were still a split nation. So all the elements are there for a legitimate offer of the kingdom. However, they reject Jesus Christ, they reject the submission of John's baptism, and that shifts for a time. Israel's blinded for a time. You know what happens to the children of Israel in the tribulation? They go into the desert, or they go into the wilderness. They take off fleeing when they see the Antichrist standing up in the Holy of Holies and proclaiming that he's God, and they're supposed to run. And where do they run to? They run to a rock. It's like a tomb in there. It's like a tomb. And there they are in the dark inside this tomb. And just as Jesus Christ was in a tomb, here's the nation of Israel in this rock, in a tomb. And they're going to stay there all the way up until the Lord comes back. Because there's this death cloud shadowing over them. They can't come out of that thing. Isn't that something? And so there's analogies all throughout the Bible here about Israel dying as a nation, being buried, and rising again. This not only was a picture of what was going to happen to Jesus Christ, but this was also a picture of what was going to happen to the nation of Israel. And so this tomb is like a prison. In the Old Testament, what happened to the Jews when they died? They went into a prison down in Abraham's bosom. And Jesus, when he rose again, he led captivity captive and brought many saints out with him. Now, I don't believe that all of them are gone. I believe the Jewish saints are still there. And I mean, I could show you why, but that's irrelevant here. But some of the saints came up. And it looks like God is bringing bones up, and he's resurrecting Israel out of the ground here in Ezekiel 36. And so he's going to resurrect those that are in that tomb, in Abraham's bosom. And he's also going to resurrect the Jews that are in a tomb in Selah Petra, in the rock. Hey, those that make it there, I believe they're going to be of all the house of Israel in that tomb. And the dead will rise, and those that are in that tomb will rise. So it's a picture of the nation of Israel dying, being buried, and being resurrected when Jesus Christ comes back. And so John is saying, hey, you need to be baptized here. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, because your sins have already been forgiven. Jesus is already going to go to the cross. He's already forgiven you. He's told, he's going to tell the disciples, when they ask, how often do I forgive my brother? And he's going to tell them, 70 times 7. It's 490 years. And that's how long the Lord has forgiven Israel. And he's not going to tell them to do something that he himself can't do. Now look in verse 11 here. Verse 11. Let's see what I got here. Ezekiel 37:11. Then said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. And so that baptism has to picture the whole house. Those that are dead and those that are still alive that the Lord's coming back for. Verse 12 through 28. So they repent, and then the Lord will, the Lord resurrects them. Verse 12 through 28. Yeah, it says in verse 22, and I will make them one nation. Okay, verse 23, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. And so when they get right, at the end of the tribulation, the Lord will put his spirit in them, creating in them a new heart. Now Jesus came, and he was in the midst of the children of Israel when he was here on this earth. And they reject him. And so the offer that was physically given, was physically promised to Israel, goes to us spiritually. And so we have God dwelling in the midst of us as he was here on this earth dwelling in the midst of Israel. They reject him, so now he comes and lives in the midst of us. And so here we have Israel. They'll be resurrected at the power of God in Ezekiel 36, 37. So we see that there's a lot that we can learn from John's baptism. Not just that, hey, he came baptizing for the remission of sins. There's a lot more there. There's a pictures through about Jesus Christ's death, burial, resurrection, what he's going to go through, and what the Jews going to go through. So they didn't submit. Do you know what the problem is with an unsaved person? They won't submit to the preaching of God. Just as the Jews won't submit to the preaching of John, unsaved men don't submit to the preaching of the preachers God has set before them. And that's why they go to hell. They won't submit to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God wants to baptize an unsaved person with the Holy Ghost. But because they won't submit to the preaching, he can't do it. If they'll quit trusting in the works, and they'll quit trusting in their righteousness, and they'll quit trusting in their pride, and they start trusting in the Word of God and what the Word of God says, then they can have a chance to get the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is God dwelling in us. And that's what John is saying here. Go back, if you would, to Matthew. Matthew 3. Verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so, when we trust in Christ for what he did for us on the cross, and he then gives us the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost comes inside us and dwells in us. Hey, if you're unsaved, you're dead already. You're dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2:1. So why not trust in Christ, right? And get in him and go through his death. And so you don't have to go through your own. And that's what he wants. And not only that, but he was buried. He was buried. Do you know that if you're unsaved, that you're headed for the grave? Every unsaved man and woman is headed for the grave. You're going to be buried. So why not go through Christ's burial and skip out on your eternal burial? Not only that, but the sentence has already been issued. You're sentenced to die. You're going into the ground. He rose again the third day, the Bible says. Hey, if you're unsaved, you're going to rise again one day. You are. The dead is going to rise up, and they're going to stand before God at the white throne judgment. So why not skip out on that and rise with Christ, get in Christ, and get through his resurrection, and skip out on that? That second resurrection, the resurrection from the dead, or of the dead. It's the choice is up to you. Everybody makes a choice. Everybody makes a choice. So this baptism pictures the Jews, Messiah, and the Jews' immediate future. It pictures what's going to happen to Jesus Christ in the future, and it pictures what's going to happen to the nation in the future. It's to prepare the way of the Lord. It's getting the Jew ready for what's to come. Verse 14, Matthew 3:14. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Do you see what this verse is actually saying? Go with me, if you would, to John 1. John 1. Let's look at this a little bit here. John 1, 6. The Bible says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You see, John was sent to bear witness of Jesus Christ. Look in John 1:28 now. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So now it looks like in Matthew and John that John the Baptist knew who Jesus was before he baptized him. But look at what the verse says. Look at what the verse says. So then it looks like he doesn't know him until after he baptizes him. Do you see that? Look in Matthew again. This is something that a critical will probably try and point out to you sometime in his life. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee, verse 13, to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him. He hasn't been baptized yet. He's forbidding him. He forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. So he's already recognizing that he is Christ. But over here it says, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing with water. And I knew him not, verse 33, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining upon, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So the Bible critic will say, ooh, look at this. Look at what we have here. With a big old grin on his face. Like the Grinch. Trying to steal the Bible. Trying to steal the Word of God. Big old grin. Look here, it's a blatant contradiction. That's what they'll say. And then you can say, really? Is it really? So how does he recognize him here before and after? Why can't he recognize him before Jesus gets baptized and then know for sure that that was him after he baptized? Hey, give God the benefit of the doubt. Give God the benefit of the doubt. Could it be that John was full of the Holy Ghost? And he knew? Hey, the Bible says holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. When they wrote the Bible, people spoke words of God and they wrote it down. Give God the benefit of the doubt, folks. That's 2 Peter 1:22. 2 Peter 1:22. It's right there. And just take them to that verse. 2 Peter 1:22. Is it 1:22? There is in 122. It's 121. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So there's a logical explanation that's written down in the Bible that you can show a Bible critic trying to point out contradictions in the Word of God. Or could it be that John probably saw every wicked man that walked the face in that area, that walked on that ground? And then he sees this other man coming, and he knows there's something different about this man. He knows. Philippians 2:12. Philippians 2:12. The Bible says 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Jesus Christ is salvation. That was already worked out to the outside. Hey, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Pilate could sit there and look at him and say, I find no fault in him. And here's John, full of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost. Hey, his parents were full of the Holy Ghost, John's. So isn't it reasonable to say that, hey, if his parents raised him and he's living right and he's preaching what God wants him to preach, that he's full of the Holy Ghost? Another thought, Judas, they didn't even know who Judas, Judas didn't even know he was going to betray Jesus Christ. And so, nobody else knew it until it worked out to the outside. What it was on the inside of Judas eventually worked to the outside, and he was the betrayer. So that's on the other thing is, hey, what's inside a man is going to eventually come out. What's on the inside of Jesus Christ is already coming out, and everybody's seeing it. And John saw it too. Now look here, there's another problem here in Matthew. Matthew 3:14. Matthew 3:14. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Go back in verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so John the Baptist is recognizing the fact that the baptism that Jew needs isn't the one that he's providing. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. He's saying that to Jesus. And he's saying up here, there's one that's mightier than I. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That's the one you need, folks. You know what God's looking for with this Jew? He's looking for that Jew to submit to whatever Jesus Christ tells him to do. And right now that prophet's saying, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. But that's not the baptism that is really needed. And I'm going to recognize the fact because it's written down. And he's saying, hey, the one that's really needed is the one that the Lord Jesus Christ will provide. So he says, he's looking for, if the Lord tells that Jew to take their children up to the mountain and offer them as a sacrifice, as he did with Abraham and Isaac, then that's what they're to do. If he tells them, the women in the area, hey, what I want you to do is hang a scarlet thread out your window so that when the destroyers come to destroy that city, you'll be saved alive, then that's what you do. If he says, hey, I want you to spend the next 100 years building a boat, and then when I tell you to get on it, you need to get on it, then that's what you do. And what he's telling that Jew right now is repent. You got to get your heart right because the Lord is coming. He's prepare ye the way of the Lord. And they wouldn't submit. And so the Holy Ghost then is now given to the Gentile and the Jew, to the individual. And it will be given to the nation at a later time as a whole, as the nation as a whole. So believing in what he says, he's not looking for the Jewish leader to come up and say, hey, we're the children of promise. We have our father Abraham. He's not looking for that. He's not looking for we're righteous. We've keep the law. That's not what he's looking for, folks. He's looking for them to be in submission to whatever he tells them to do. And if they're not in submission, then they're not going to get what's promised to them. So they're not looking, the Jews are always saying, we're children of promise, we're children of promise. You know what Jesus Christ tells them? You're a child of the devil. Later on, and we'll see that. You're not children of promise, you're children of the devil. Either you're one or the other. You can't not be one and not be the other. You got to be one or the other. It's a child of God or a child of the devil. And you don't want to be like Cain of that wicked one. That's a child of the devil. You want to be a child of God, born again, a child of God. And so John realizes that he needs to be baptized of the Holy Ghost. And John knew the scriptures. And he knows as long as that Jew was in the state that they were in, that the king and the promises of the kingdom would not come to pass. And they're not going to come to pass until that Jew gets right and they get that the Spirit of God on them and put in them, poured upon them, and they get a new heart in Joel 2 and Ezekiel 36 and 37. They get the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and a new heart. Now the Jew blew it. So God, to make Israel jealous, he passes the gift of the Holy Ghost onto the Gentiles and the Jew. It would be the individual. Verse 15, Matthew 3:15. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. That is a kind of an archaic word, suffer. It means to put up with or to let, to allow. Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Now there's 6 reasons why Jesus is being baptized here. There's going to be 6 reasons. The first one is to fulfill all righteousness. It says right there, to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. John 8:29. The Bible says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. God, he was under obligation to be baptized of John's baptism because he wanted to please his Father, and that's what his Father wanted him to do. The second one would be consecration, Exodus 29. Exodus 29. He's a priest, and a priest had to be washed before he was anointed. Exodus 29. And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and 2 rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, and cakes cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened, anointed with oil, of wheaten flour shalt thou make them, and thou shalt put them in one basket and bring them into the basket. Bring them into the basket with the bullock and the two rams, and Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water, and thou shalt take the garments and put upon Aaron, and the coat and the robe and the ephod and the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the girdle of the ephod, and thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. And so the washing comes before the anointing. And we see that here in the scriptures with Jesus Christ being baptized here. Not only that, but it was a commendation. What Jesus is doing here, he's being baptized with John's baptism, and what he's doing, he's thus approving of John's ministry and obligating the people to obey him. And so they see Jesus doing that. They should know, hey, this is something that we need to do. They're not doing it. Another one is proclamation. This is John's official introduction of Jesus Christ to the nation. We saw that in John 1:31. To manifest Jesus Christ to Israel. Another one is anticipation of what was going to happen to Jesus Christ at his crucifixion. It was looking forward to Jesus Christ suffering on the cross. That's Luke 12:50. And not only that, but it was identification. And what Jesus was doing, he was identifying himself with sinful man. Now, he never sinned, but he took sinful man's sin upon himself. So those are six reasons for his baptism. Matthew 3 again. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight way out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Go with me, if you would, to Genesis 8. Genesis 8. Eight. There's Noah. He's in the ark still. Verse 8. Also, he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. Now look at chapter 9, verse 1, 2, and 3, 1 and 2. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. And so what's happening here is that Noah is getting ready to take dominion over the earth. And Jesus Christ here is getting ready, he's getting anointed here to take dominion over the earth, if that Jew will receive him. But the Jew doesn't, they don't submit, and so the promises are stopped at this point, and their spiritual promises given to the the individual that trusts in Jesus Christ. The lighting upon is similar to what happens in Acts. Look in Acts 1. Acts 1. Acts 1, 1 through 8. We'll start in verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showeth himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Let's go back down. Let's read back a little bit more. Verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth. And so John the Baptist was a witness of Jesus Christ. The Jew now has power to be a witness of Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. And if you get saved and the Holy Ghost comes and dwells within you, you now have power to witness about Jesus Christ, to witness to the unsaved. So Jesus Christ's ministry starts when the Spirit of God lighted upon him. And so the apostles' ministry will start in Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Just as how the Spirit lighted and abode upon Jesus, so these tongues like as of fire sat upon each of them. So it shows you that that's when their ministry starts. And you know when a born-again believer's ministry starts? The day he gets saved. The day he gets saved, he can witness for Jesus Christ. And I believe he has power to witness for Jesus Christ. And go home and say, if they're a kid, go home and say, hey, Mom, I just got saved. Jesus Christ just saved me. I remember saying that when I was a kid. And we were in Brother Hoffman's Sunday school class. I would go home, Mom, I just got saved. You know? So, and then I'd come back and want to get saved again the next week and the next week and the next week. until Brother says, Mike, you only need to be saved once. I was like, oh, I was all down. I was like, but anyway, praise the Lord for that. Okay, so now Jesus Christ doesn't need the Spirit of God coming down. He doesn't need that. But the reason why that happens is because the Jew seeks after a sign. And that whole, the whole baptism thing was to manifest the Messiah to Israel. And the sign is there, and they see the Holy Spirit come down, lighting upon him, and guess what? They reject. They reject. If the Jew would have known the prophecies of the Messiah, he would have known, just as John knew. John knew who he was by what happened. And he would have known that the Messiah was connected with the Holy Spirit and connected with the pouring out of the Spirit on that Jew, if he would have been studying his scriptures properly. Jesus, let me see what I got here. So Christ raised the dead, he heals the sick, he casts out devils, and they still wouldn't see that he was the Messiah. Going into the book of Matthew, you're going to see that happening. They reject the ministry where he's getting baptized, they reject John's ministry, they reject Jesus Christ's ministry. They reject all his signs, all his wonders, and they miss him. Jesus doesn't perform any miracles in his town. Why? Because they're not going to receive it anyway. They don't believe. And so you ever wonder why, and you hear this out, why doesn't God send missionaries to this tribe out in the rainforest? And why does he withhold missionaries to this person out over here in the mountains? Well, do you ever think maybe they're not looking for God there? Hey, there's nobody in his town that'll believe him and listen to him. So why would he tells us to redeem the time. He doesn't tell us to waste it. If there's somebody seeking for God, God is obligated to get him a missionary. Get him the word of God. You see it all throughout the book of Acts with the Ethiopian eunuch looking for God out in the desert. You see it with Cornelius. And so when Christ starts preaching rough, he's got a bunch of disciples standing around, and all his disciples, except for 12, take off. And he asks his disciples, hey, will ye also go? And they say, well, who are we going to go to? Who are we going to go to? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The unsaved man will never understand the things that a born-again believer does, because the natural man receiveth not of the Spirit of God. And so Christians, they don't fit in now, but one day the unsaved won't fit in. Verse 17, Matthew 17. 3:17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so Christ always did those things that please the Father. Now this voice appears three times in the Gospels. It appears here, Matthew 17 and John 12:28. There are three times that you find the phrase come up hither in the Bible. One in Revelation 14, one in Proverbs 25:7, and one in Revelation 11:12. And so, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We'll go ahead and stop there. And may the Lord bless you all. Till the next time. Is there any prayer requests?